Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to today's webcast. Good to have you with us, Barry. Here we are. This is about the second or third time this season we're together.
Yeah, here we are, bro.
It's good, good. So what have you been doing then? You've been on holiday.
We went to Mexico.
Wonderful.
Just to celebrate our 40th wedding anniversary. We had the actual date was a couple of weeks earlier, but we managed to sneak away.
Great.
We're home now, and yeah. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. Had a great week in Poland last week. Went really well. Not on holiday or anything, but doing a school. But yeah, really good. Really went well, thank you.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. And last week you had a guest speaker. That was a good time.
Yes, S.J. Hill. I don't know if you've ever met S.J.
No, all. I haven't. No.
You haven't met. I met him at, I think it was either the first or the second Father's Love Forum that Jack Winter did.
Okay.
He gathered, back in the early days of the forum, it was ministries, like different ministries that would come together carrying this revelation. And so that's when I met S.J. He was a... have you heard of the Brownsville Revival?
Yeah.
He was a part of the staff there during that. He was one of their Bible teachers. And great guy. I've been wanting to connect with him on one of our webcasts for a long time. And so it was great timing, and love to have him back on when you're here. He's got so much energy. Like I think he said he was 74 now.
Oh,
and
wow.
Full of just vim and vigor. It's just so inspiring for us who are now in our 60s, and that's including you, mate.
It is.
And all that.
Now, Barry, there's a couple of people saying your volume's a little bit low.
My volume is low. Okay.
So I don't know. You probably are a bit lower than me, but I don't know if you can tweak that for us.
Okay. How's that? Check 1, 2. The Father loves you. Check 1, 2.
How's that, folks?
Gang?
But otherwise, turn your volume up on your computers. But how's if we have a bit of feedback, is Barry's sound better?
Is it better now? You know, the more excited I get, the louder I get. So that might be a problem afterwards.
That's better, right, they say. Better. So that's great.
Yeah. No, I looked at my dial on my soundbox thing, and it was somehow turned. By mistake. So yeah, thank you guys for that feedback. And you know, in the same token, if I'm getting too loud, you know, to say Barry,
we'll turn you down. They still say you're a bit low, but
they say I'm low. Okay.
Well, Sophie says you're a bit low.
Yeah, I can turn that up too. How's that? Is that better?
I mean, from my perspective, it's okay. But
yeah.
It's I don't know. Right. We'll see. Well, we'll see what the comments.
We can adjust it. I can bring the microphone a little closer. I just I don't want to. You know, when the moment that I get excited, you know, and everybody goes
You know, I think there's a bit of distortion now, but I would just.
Is that too loud? Then
I think go back to where you were. I think that's
okay. We'll see. I'm sure I'll get a little louder as we go.
Well, you know, I do know as you get excited, it sparks it off, but that's about the same. Okay, better with the microphone closer. Okay, well, let's try this and see how it goes. I mean, we are dependent on the internet as well, and that can change things.
Yes.
But yeah, well, we've... it's been several weeks since we were on together, Barry.
I know.
In fact, I think this is probably only the third one this season that we've
been together.
Been together. But hey, it's where it is sometimes.
Yeah.
So what we want to do this evening is just have a conversation together about going deeper in the Father's love. And this is more of a conversation together. And hopefully it'll be practical as well as, you know, inspirational and so on. But because there's always so much more, isn't there, Barry? You know, I mean, you've been in this whole revelation much longer than me. What, 1997?
Yeah, that was the beginning. But we're just as Jack Werner used to say, we're 3 year olds teaching 2 year olds. So I'm comfortable with that.
Well, I'm comfortable with that too. But I'm just aware that it's like this is like 20 years for me because it was 2002, and I still feel, I'm just dipping my toes in the water, and so much more.
Yeah, and I think, one of the things that I think almost defines kind of at least getting older, I won't say maturity, but getting older is it's like, I think the older we get, the longer we've been in something, I think the more we are aware of what we don't know.
Yeah, absolutely.
when we're young and we've got the world by the tail and we've got life figured out, but by the time we get in our 60s and 70s, it's like, well, it wasn't exactly what I was thinking it was all along, but that's all good because I think that's all part of the process. And I think that's why, what we're saying is that there's always more, right? Rather than saying we've reached the top of the mountain.
I think that's very true, Barry. The longer I've gone on with a lot of things, the less I feel I know about them or understand about them. And you know what? I'm actually comfortable with that because it keeps us in that whole thing of mystery rather than mastery. And it's the mystery, the unknown is something I think that is really important for us to hang on to.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's one of the things that I think age does kind of, I don't know if it's the knocks of life or, the experiences that we have that, things aren't always predictable and understandable. But, for me, the older I get, I'm when I do questions and answers at schools and things, and I'm sure you have those sessions, the first thing I say to people is you might ask a question, and if I don't know the answer, I'm not going to fake it. I will just say I don't know the answer to that, and I'm okay with that. And it just I think what that ends up doing, and really in reality for everybody, it gives us all permission to be able to embrace that mystery more. Because there's so much more mystery than there is certainty as far
absolutely.
As a really big universe that our Father is continuing to expand.
Yeah. It's like last week someone tried to engage me in a conversation that I knew nothing about, and I just said, I'm not going there. You know far more about this than me, and I'm not even going to comment on it. And it's just having that security and peace about it, really, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So, wherever we're on, and we're all on this journey, and however, in a sense, it doesn't really matter how long we've been on the journey. But for all of us, there is more. And I think the thing that really strikes me very often is whenever I think I've got it, whenever I think I've got this sussed, all I've done is bring God down to my level.
Right.
And I made him the size of my mind or my understanding or my experience. Right. And, that's a very dangerous thing. And I have to be very, I don't know about you, Barry, but I have to be very careful about that, because the moment I think I've got it, I just diminished how much more there is.
Absolutely.
And I have to, I'm quick these days. I'm very quick to let go of thinking I've got it, I go back to that place and saying, I really haven't got anything. There's so much more to experience, so much more to live in, and grow in. And that's what we want to just sort of chat about this evening together, because wherever we are on the journey, that for all of us, there's more. And our encouragement this evening today is for you all to pursue the more, to keep pursuing what Father has for you, to keep pursuing a greater knowledge, a greater depth of relationship with him, because there is so much more for us all to experience. And I was just thinking about this afternoon, and one of the verses that came to mind is 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1, which obviously comes straight after chapter 13, which is talking all about love. You know, love is patient, love is kind, and so on. And, you know, we do so many things in part, but when love comes, you know, that's the sort of the that's what matters, you know. And Paul says at the end of the chapter, all these faith, hope and love remain, but the greatest is love. And so he ends chapter 13 by saying, you know, the greatest is love. And then chapter 14, verse 1, the opening words are pursue love. And other translations say make love your goal or your greatest aim or whatever. And really, you know, that I think is the encouragement that Paul is giving us. You know, all of the things that we spend a lot of time learning about, like prophecy, tongues, interpretation, Paul says they're all good, but the most important thing is love. And you know, I want to encourage all of us to pursue the gifts of the Spirit, because they're so vital, they're so necessary, they're so important for us all, you know, and to pursue those, but above everything, to pursue love. And when we talk about pursuing love, of course, we're talking about pursuing a person. You know, God is love. God is our Father. So our Father is love. And so when we talk about pursuing love, we're not talking about pursuing a concept or a theory or a principle, but we're talking about pursuing the person of love, the one who is love.
Yeah, and I think that's really important, because I mean, when you think about it, when the gifts, I mean, earlier in 1 Corinthians 13, you know, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, and if I don't have love, I have nothing, you know. And of course, he goes on to talk about some pretty amazing things, you know, having faith to move mountains and things, and yet, like you're saying, I think you really nailed that, Mark. I just want to, like, just when you said about it, it's love is a person. Like, love is the Father, Son, and Spirit, and it's just it's like, you know, when we understand that anything else is just kind of a byproduct of being in relationship with the one who is love. Then we start to realize, oh yeah, I mean, you know, like the language Paul uses, above all else, you know, I show you a better way. Like, it's like, yeah, there's this, but then there's this.
Yes.
And this is, it's this, it's the main thing that we're talking about. So I'm sorry, I didn't mean to
interrupt you,
but I just wanted to, like, wow, that to me, that had that, it was like, wow, yeah, it's to pursue the person of love. Father, Son, and Spirit.
Yes. Because, you know, when we talk about loving our family or our husbands or wives or our friends, we're talking about loving a person.
Yeah.
And, you know, all of these significant relationships are in our heart. Mm. And just as our significant family or friends, those relationships are in our heart, so our relationship with our Heavenly Father is in our heart. And yeah, when we want to pursue that person who is our Father, and you know, how do we go deeper in love with someone, with a person, with a friend, with a husband, with a wife? We spend time with them, and you know, you I was talking to some friends a few weeks ago, and their son got married just before lockdown, and then the wife was from overseas, but for various reasons the wife had to go back to her home country to get visas and all that sort of thing, and then suddenly lockdown hits and COVID hits, and husband and wife are separated for months and months and months, and they've only just got married. And you know, of course, we've got Zoom and FaceTime and all that sort of stuff, but you can't really pursue a love relationship. I mean, they obviously had to keep it going over the internet and over Zoom or FaceTime or whatever for those months that they were apart. But of course, when they get back together, that's when they can really build, and you know, their love for one another can really grow and actually start to grow. You know, you hear things like that and you think, gosh, the, you know, the pain and the cost of lockdown and COVID that people have been through, it's incredible. But it was only when she was able to get back to this country that they could really sort of build together. And you know, how do we go deeper with our Father? We spend time with him. Yeah, and I was just reminded of that, the story with Moses in Exodus 33, where Moses says to the Lord, you know, he says, I think he's having a moan. Moses says to the Lord, you know, you've been telling me, lead these people, but you've not let me know who you will send with me. You know, it's like Moses sees the nation of Israel. They're always in rebellion. And, you know, Moses thinks, oh, how am I going to do this? You know, who's going to come with me? Who's going to help me? And he says, you know, if you're pleased with me, teach me your ways. You know, show me how to do this job. But the Lord's reply is just so wonderful, because it goes beyond. It goes way beyond Moses' requests. Moses says, you know, who's going to help me and teach me your ways? You know, and the Lord's reply is so beautiful. He says, oh, he says, my presence will go with you, you know, and I'll give you rest. And it's like Moses gets a revelation in that moment. He says, oh, you know, if your presence doesn't go with us, then I don't want to go anywhere. You know, I just want to be stuck in the center of your presence. And I think that's, you know, that's really what I felt Father put on my heart today, is that we have a longing for his presence. Because as we spend time in his presence, that's how our love for him will grow and we'll go deeper with him.
Well, it's interesting too, when you think about his presence, it's that means we, you know, in a sense, being present in his presence.
Yes.
Like to be, you know, and oftentimes the struggle that we can have, and maybe nobody else on the, probably nobody else on the webcast, but me, but, you know, staying in the moment, you know, right, you know, thinking about the future versus, you know, reflecting about the past, and the great I am is right in the, this very moment. And I think being in, you know, being in that place of, of abiding in that, you know, in the real time moment, moment by moment, not thinking, you know, I mean, of course you can make plans for, you know, where you're going to go on holidays and all the decisions you need to make, but to make those plans still grounded in, you know, right in that moment. And even, you know, Romans 8:14, where Paul says, those who are led by the Spirit, these are the children of God. And it just even in that, it's like, what would life look like for us if we just were being led by the Spirit? So that meant we aren't leading ourselves. It's not like, you know, we have this engine that is trying to accomplish things in our own, you know, own ability, but, you know, being led by the Spirit. I think it was Bill Johnson that mentioned about, you know, when the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus like a dove, and it's just like, you know, what did that look like, that, you know, that like the Holy Spirit manifests like a dove? And it's just like, how would we live life if we had a dove sitting on our shoulder all the time, right? And you're just wanting to be just aware of that. And so I think it's all part of the main thing being the main thing,
yes. And finding that place of his presence as well. You know, I think that takes time, doesn't it? Because we can get too busy.
Yeah.
And we can run from one thing to the next thing and lose sight of the main thing.
Right. And I think one of the things that, I'm sure you've had the same kind of experiences that I've had with this, but where people really struggle to connect with their heart's desires even. And, you know, and of course, I know I've referred to the Chariots of Fire movie about the Lytle, is it? Was it Eric Lytle?
Eric Lytle.
little, yeah. And you know, of course, the Olympic runner for the Great Britain, and you know, when he said that God made me run fast, and when I run, I feel His pleasure, yeah. And I think part of even, I think oftentimes we when we even think about experiencing the presence of God, you know, we might have this spiritual box, right, where we think, okay, I find God in, you know, my meditation or in my devotionals or my prayer times. But, you know, to be able to expand that to say, where do you feel the Father's pleasure in your life, you know, and to find God there, right, and mm-hmm. to be able to, in things that you love to do. And I think that it just expands the possibilities, you know, when we're able to just see that, you know, where we go, He goes. And often I think a lot of the struggle we have, at least, you know, for me, it's when we forget, you know, mm-hmm. we lose the awareness of His abiding presence, right? And we kind of think He's somewhere else, and yeah. he's right here.
You know? Yes. Yeah, that's right. He's always with us.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, you know, I think we just have to hold on to that. That He's always with us, He's always loving us. You know, it's not a tap we turn on because the tap is always flowing. You know, it's not down to us. It's just because He is love. He is always loving us. He's always pouring His love into our hearts. Romans 5, verse 5. Yeah. And, you know, okay, I think sometimes we can, you know, our hearts can be closed or whatever, and receiving is not easy for us, but He's always pouring His love out. Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's not His ability to love us, it's yeah. our ability to receive that. And for me, that comes back to keeping our hearts open,
yeah.
To receive.
Yeah, and I think, you know, part of that, even like you said, is that it's the, it's not the Father's reluctance to love us. He is always loving us. It's our ability to receive His love. And, you know, and I think so many of us have struggled with this idea of performance, right? Mm-hmm. So even our connection with God, that good day, you know, God loves me, bad day, you know, I'm hiding, looking for some fig leaves, you know. And I think I know for me, and I've said this before, because, you know, I've said in the past, you know, talking about my own life, that I was a performance junkie in that sense. You know, I was always feeling that my value, my self-worth was based on accomplishing things. And when you, you know, when you fail, then, you know, shame came, certainly in the, you know, the family dynamics that I experienced. And, but I find, you know, even now, you know, 25 years in, that sometimes I feel the Father's love the most for me mm-hmm. when I feel I deserve it the least. You know, yeah. because again, I think still, like we talk about being on this continuum of, you know, I like to say that the Father's continuing to love the orphan out of me, you know, mm-hmm. the orphan mindsets and beliefs. And so even now, if, you know, sometimes, you know, and I'm not talking about anything bad, but I'm just talking about if you're discouraged or you're frustrated or, you know, you're not living in that, the central place that you want to live. And Papa just comes and says, "Oh, son, I love you." And yeah. it's like, you love me here.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. you know, I'm not going to the nations. I'm not, you know, leaping tall buildings at a single bound. And you love me right in the, and in the depth of the despair or the discouragement. Yeah. And it's like, I think it takes faith to believe that He loves us there, but I think it's really, that's when we discover, right, that He is loving us through thick and thin.
Yeah. Barry, your static has come back again.
Okay, I'll come out and then I'll
come back in again. Yeah, okay.
All right.
So we'll just let Barry come back in again and hopefully his static will be sorted out. But there's, just reminds me of one of the translations and the Beatitudes. You know, blessed are those who know their need of Him, for they shall be satisfied. And, you know, I think it's like Barry was just saying, it's those moments when we, in some ways, we feel we don't deserve it, you know, and it's in those moments that we are so aware of our need of Him. And it's in that moment of need that and desire that we can often have those encounters with him. Even though, you know, he hasn't changed. You know, nothing about him has changed. He's remained constant and, you know, loving. He says in Jeremiah, "I've loved you with an everlasting love." But it's in those times when we feel we don't deserve it, or we've, you know, we've failed, or we've gone into condemnation or something. And it's in that moment when we can just stop and say, "Oh, yeah, I do have a need. I have a need of him." And it's so in, you know, I think we have to keep bringing ourselves back to that place of recognizing that we have a need. Yeah. You know, and actually, even it's very easy to recognize a need when you've got a need.
But actually, that's profound.
I'm really on a roll with being profound today, Barry. But actually, if everything's going well and we're in a good season and life's good, and you know, we still have a need, and we still have the same need when life is going well as when life is not going so well. The need in our hearts, the need of our hearts, is exactly the same. But of course, you know, when we don't feel we've got a need, we don't feel we have a need. There you are, Barry. There's another profound one. But it's in those, it is in that. I think it's just important for us to remember we have a need, even if things are going well, even if life's good, we still have a need of him. And it's just easy, I think it's easy to lose sight of it. Hey, Barry, just like, we can lose sight of that, but our heart still needs it.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's where one of the things for me, you know, when we share this message, that, you know, of course, it's such a life message for both of us. But, you know, some people have said to me, you know, and meaning well, they just said, like, I really don't need this revelation because, you know, I had a good family background, so I don't need this kind of revelation of God being a father to me. But I think for me, what has happened, and I know, you know, for you, your story was different than mine, but, you know, similar in the sense that, you know, I didn't know it, but I had a father hunger like that was raging inside of me all my life. And when I discovered that Almighty God promised to be a father to me, it was like, man, I am in both feet. I am in lock, stock, and barrel. Yeah. And again, it's just being in touch with the need. So, you know, if, you know, people, what I say to people is that if you've had wonderful families, great father figures, I celebrate that. That's God's desire, is that, because I want to be a good dad, a good grandpa, you know, that's my heart and that's God's heart. But like, just don't let the blessing that you've had in your life dull the sense that there's more, and that we can have a deeper revelation and in relationship with the one who chose us before the foundation of the world. I mean, it's a different level of love, you know, and as I say sometimes, that if the best dad in the world could give a drop, the father wants to give us the ocean, right?
Absolutely.
And so I think that's again, isn't that honing in and on that need and that awareness that we, you know, we need the parental love, and, you know, and yay God for it, each person who's, you know, really had a healthy expression of all of that from both mothers and fathers because they were around. Even if you've had that, there is so much more that we can experience with God fathering us.
I remember talking to a friend of mine a while ago, a few years back, and he said to me, you know, he'd had a really, really good relationship with his dad, and they'd got on well, and his dad was a strong Christian, a really good father figure, you know. And my friend said, you know, I don't feel I've had any lack in that area. And I was just about to jump in and say, well, even a good father is still very imperfect compared to our Heavenly Father. But he carried on and he said this. He said, I realized the father issue for me, he said, was actually letting go of my earthly father and learning to hold on to my Heavenly Father.
Wow.
He said, I knew I could trust my earthly dad. I knew my earthly dad would provide for me. I knew he was always there for me. But it was a huge step of faith to let go of what was good and familiar and actually, you know, begin to grow in that relationship with his Heavenly Father. I thought that was so powerful, because it was very, very helpful. Because, you know, many of us have had good parents. Many of us have had a good experience, and not a perfect experience, but a good experience. And there's something in us that has to let go of that in order to hold on to our Heavenly Father and begin to experience perfect love, you know, and encounter that, a completely different dimension, and yeah, just that experience of love that comes to us from our Heavenly Father.
It's interesting, you know, and it's an extreme case. So we know it's an extreme case, but the story of the prodigal son, you know, as long as he had his wallet full of money and he could have all the food and partying, he wasn't heading towards home. It was only when he ended up in a pig pen and he experienced need. Now, I really believe the Father doesn't want us to have to go to that. Like, and that's why I say it's an extreme case. But to be able to understand that he turned his heart towards home when he began to be in need. And again, it's just understanding our deepest need for love. We need that all the time. And and like you said, like for me, you know, oftentimes I forget.
Yeah. And of course, in the story, the prodigal son, there's also the older son who didn't get it. You know, and we don't know. I mean, the story is left slightly open-ended, but I love what the father says to the older son right at the end of the story. He says, you know, son, you know, all that I have is yours, and you are always with me. Mm. You know, and the older son just couldn't receive that. You know, and even though he'd been given all of his inheritance at the beginning of the story, you know, he received his inheritance as much as the younger son. And, you know, there's so much bitterness and anger. Yeah, he says, you've never given me a goat that I could party with my friends. You know, I've always served you. I've always obeyed you. You've never done anything for me. You know, this son of yours, you know, he can't even acknowledge that it's his brother. And yet, you know, he is this guy who had the whole estate. He could have taken something and celebrated with his friends, but his heart wouldn't let him do it. Mm-hmm. And when the father, I'm sure the father said those words so tenderly, you know, son, you know, you're always with me. Everything I have is yours. And that older son couldn't receive it. And I suppose I just ask that question of us today, you know, can we receive that? Can you receive the Father saying to you, you are always with me? Mm. You know, everything I have is yours. Because I guess like you, Barry, I've come across many people when I've said that to them, they can't receive it. Mm. And so I just throw that out to you, to those of you watching with us live. You know, can you receive the Father saying to you, can your heart receive, hey, my son, my daughter, you're always with me. You know, everything I have is yours. Because that, if our heart can receive it, that's massive. That's huge.
Wow. Wait, what are the implications of that?
Yeah.
Everything that I have is yours, right?
Everything.
And he was talking, and you can understand with the older brother in the story, like, you know, his kind of field of vision was a goat.
Yeah.
You didn't give me a goat. I wanted a goat. And he didn't realize he had the whole thing.
Yeah. It's like when Paul says in Ephesians, you know, he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Well, what does that look like? I mean, what is every spiritual blessing? I mean,
every,
you know, and I think if we started to, if Barry and I wrote a list between us, it would hardly scratch the surface, eh?
Absolutely.
See, and this is what the Father wants to give us.
Yeah, and I think, you know, this is where, you know, this is, you know, what I think about what we're talking about, you know, really being aware of the presence of God, right? Yeah. Keeping the main thing the main thing. And I just think about, you know, the story of Elisha and his servant, right, in the Old Testament, when there's this big army comes against Elisha to take him, and the servant's freaking out because it's just the two of them against an army. Elisha's cool as a cucumber, and he just makes a statement, and he says, those who are for us are more than those who are against us, right? You can imagine the servant looking around, thinking, like, who's he talking about?
Yeah, where are they?
And what did Elisha do? He didn't try to tell the servant anything. He just prayed a prayer, and he said, you know, Lord, open his eyes. Yeah. Then all of a sudden, it was like the eyes, in a sense of his heart, not his natural seeing, but in his heart, opened up, and he saw that there was angels on chariots of fire that were, you know, in the mountains that were way more than the army that was facing them. And, you know, and so I think about Ephesians 1, 17 and 18, where Paul says, I keep on asking the glorious Father to give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you might know him better, and that the eyes of your heart might be enlightened, they might be opened, so that you might know the hope of your calling and the glorious inheritance that you have together with all the saints. And I think that's the awakening that the Father wants to give each one of us, that we, you know, our, the eyes of our inner being open. Yeah. And so we actually are aware of his abiding presence. And of course, the spirit of wisdom and revelation, which is the Holy Spirit, is the one that actually helps us know the Father better.
Yes.
And that is, again, that's the person, right? It's the person of the Holy Spirit that bears witness and introduces and helps us to make known the person of the first person of the Trinity. And of course, through the person of the second person, Jesus, our union with him. So it's so good.
It's great. And isn't it wonderful that Paul asks the Father to give us the very gift we need to get to know the Father better?
I know.
So that's how, I mean, whenever I read that and talk about that, it just shows me how desperate, how important it is to the Father that we get to know him, because he gives us, the Father himself gives us what we need to get to know him. And it's like, that's just so generous of him, so kind. It is amazing. And yeah, I just as you were talking, Barry, I was just remember that verse at the end of Job where, you know, the story of Job, we know it. It's this long discussion with Job and his friends, and, you know, and at the end, Job has a personal encounter with the Lord. And right at the end of Job, the Lord says to him, you know, reveals himself, basically. The Lord reveals himself to him, and Job's response is, "My ears had heard of you. But now my eyes have seen you."
Yeah.
And I believe that's like the eyes of the heart for us. You know, we know all about God. You know, we can say, my ears have heard all about you. You know, I know all about you. I've read the book. But now the eyes of my heart, I've seen you. I've seen who you are. And It just shows to me the importance of keeping the eyes of our heart open. Mm. Paul says, I keep on asking, you know, I keep on asking the glorious Father to give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. I keep on asking that the eyes of your heart will be enlightened, will be opened. And I believe that's kind of like our prayer, that we go on, we keep on asking, we keep on saying, Father, show me more of you, reveal more of you, of who you are, show me more of your personality. You know, Moses said, show me your glory.
Yeah.
Show me your glory. And the Lord puts him in that by the side of the rock, and then he passes in front of him. And what Moses sees and experiences is the Lord, gracious, compassionate, loving, kind. And what he sees in that moment is the nature and the personality and the character of God the Father. Yeah. And, you know, I just think, I say, Father, I want that desire. Show me more of your glory. Show me more of your character, your nature, your personality. Show me who you are. And, you know, help me to walk with you more and more and not in my own independent ways. Because I think we kind of all do that a bit, don't we, Barry?
Yeah, absolutely. But it, you know, it's just like when it talks about us beholding the Lord of glory as in a mirror. Right?
Yeah.
And then it's like when we think about that, like as in a mirror, so that we're looking at a reflection of ourselves in this mirror, but it's God in us, and he's shining on us. And yeah, even though we're clay pots, we're cracked pots, but we're that the glory is of God and not of us, right? And I think this is this wonderful thing that I think it's interesting, you know, I think we've talked about this before, but it's almost like there's two ways to see, right? There's a way to see through the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the tree of reason and intellect and, and trying to understand things through, maybe not through relationship, but then there's the eyes of the heart that we see through relationship and through intimacy. And you see, and you think about Adam and Eve, even in the garden, right? I mean, they're wandering around, no clothes on, and they're oblivious to anything until in the Bible says when they took of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, it says their eyes were opened and they realized they were naked. But it's almost like you wonder if the eyes of their intellect and the reason were opened, but then the eyes of their heart was closed.
Yeah.
Right at that moment. And then so the redemption is about having the eyes of our hearts opened, and then, you know, that all of that other stuff where we try to navigate kind of gets closed down so we can actually see the kingdom and the glory of that. And I think that's a tension though, isn't it?
Like it is
in everyday life, because we can default back to those default systems that we have in reason and all the things that we try to understand God by, that's not through the heart revelation, right?
I mean, we've talked about Ephesians 1, the eyes of the heart being opened, but you know, Paul contrasts that so clearly in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4:17, he says, I tell you this, he says, and I insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. It's like the opposite, isn't it? You know, the eyes of the heart being opened, the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance of their hearts. You see, and I just think that is the fruit. Yeah, Paul really describes it so well there. That's the fruit of living from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Yeah.
It's the futility of thinking, that darkened understanding, hardening of a heart. And, you know, Paul says, stop living like that. You know, I insist on it in the Lord. Stop living like that. And don't live like that, but live like this.
Yeah,
where the Father will give you what you need to get to know him better, that you can see him. And actually, you know, you see him, Paul says, you know, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, and have the eyes of your heart opened so that you may know the hope to which you've been called. You know, and I think that prayer is both vertical and horizontal. It's vertical in the sense that we get to know him better, but it's horizontal in the sense that we get to know ourselves better and who we are and what the Father has given us to do as sons and daughters. And, you know, we love because he first loved us. And it is as we live in love that we can begin to truly love other people.
Amen to that, brother.
Yeah. So let's just spend some time together, shall we, just praying and opening our hearts to Father, just wherever you are, you know, people all around the world, different time zones, some people watching later, you know, just let's just take a few moments to open our hearts and, you know, let the Father take us deeper.
Yeah.
You know, don't compare yourself to anybody else, but just allow him to take you deeper. So, Father, we thank you. Thank you, Father, that you've given us and you're giving us the spirit of wisdom and revelation, because you want us to get to know you better.
Yeah.
And Father, we just want to sit in your presence in these moments and allow our hearts to receive that spirit of wisdom and revelation. Father, just as we sit with you, just as we sit in your presence, Father, would you give us that most beautiful gift? Father, would you cause our hearts to see you and know you and experience more of you? Father, I just ask that even in these few moments we have together, we would get to know you better. We would go deeper into your love. We would experience you loving us. We would experience you pouring your love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. That, Father, we would have an encounter with you. Father, may we have an encounter with you. Just even in this brief time, a deep encounter with you. Thank you, Father, that you're loving us.
Yeah.
Your love never runs out.
No.
Thank you that you're loving us with an everlasting love.
Yeah.
That you lavish your love upon us simply and only because we're your children. And Father, I just ask that each one of us would have that experience right now of you lavishing your love on us. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
Yeah. Father, we just ask that we just be awakened to the tangible reality of your love. The love that you're loving us with from eternity, and the love that you're loving us with right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, Father, we just ask that even in this very moment, that we would be centered in your love. That we would know that we know that we know that we're loved with an everlasting love, and there's nothing that we could ever do to make you love us any more than you do right now.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing that we could ever do to make you love us any less than you love us with right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, Father, I thank you the way that you imparted life to Adam in the garden was you breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the way that Jesus imparted the Holy Spirit was that he breathed on him and simply said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So, Father, we just breathe. We just breathe in your love. We breathe in your life. We breathe in the essence of who you are and your affection towards us, even in this very moment.
Yeah.
Father, we know that your love is here to comfort us when we are hurting, to strengthen us when we are weak, to encourage us when we're discouraged. And so, Father, no matter what place we're at in our lives, right to this very moment, we come to you. And Father, we ask that you would help us to still our hearts, to quiet our being so that we would know at a heart level that you really are our God and our Father.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Father.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Father. Yeah. Yes, let's make it a daily thing to receive and go deeper.
Amen to that. I won't talk much because I hear the sounds much.
So thank you all for joining us. We'll both be back next week together. And we will have a little conversation about sound in a few minutes to see if we can work out what's going on. But thanks for joining us, everyone. And we look forward to seeing you all next week. Bless you.